This podcast was initially recorded on the 7th of April 2020 and released on SoundCloud on the 9th of April 2020.
So what is it?
I haven't seen one in eons, sirs. No one has, but I'm guessing it's a podcast.
A podcast?
Everything that is created in the universe creates another's equal and opposite opinions. A podcast collates some of these opinions and releases them to unsuspecting listeners or viewers.
So that thing's spewing opinions back into the universe.
Precisely. That's why we're experiencing these curious opinion-related phenomena on board.
What phenomena?
Like then, when we rambled on and attempted to redo a joke from the original show.
So what is it?
Cut!
Only joking.
Ladies, gentlemen, androids, holograms, cats and gelps, you are listening to Terror of the Tweeters, the day before tomorrow. And a very special one as we're looking ahead to the feature-length special of Red Dwarf, The Promised Land, with your hosts, John Ryan and Matthew Ross.
Greetings, ladies, gentlemen, and variations thereupon. Welcome back to Terror of the Tweeters. Slightly different, for you see, the series of Doctor Who has finished for now. We will hopefully return for series 13, but there is another science fiction franchise that me and John are both huge fans of. It is getting a 90-minute special, airing exclusively on Dave. It is Red Dwarf. We are here to talk about the upcoming episode of Red Dwarf called The Promised Land.
I actually get to talk about this and everything, because I mean, with regards to the last ones and everything, it's just like, it's a Doctor Who non-stop, Doctor Who, Doctor Who, Doctor Who, Doctor Who. Ooh. And don't get me wrong, whilst I like it and everything, it's just when you actually get a chance to talk about something different, freshen it up a bit and everything. It's like,
you know, it's like a new franchise.
Yeah. Although with regards to it, they say new franchise. People have been trying to find a way to get this. Trying to say, no, this is in the same universe and everything. This actually makes sense and everything. I mean, it's not like it's Blink 7 or Dark Shadows or anything like that. It's utter madness.
Well, my Twitter header image is that time that the prop designers hid the TARDIS on board the Red Dwarf, when the docking doors open and there's a little blue police box in the background. So it is canon.
Well,
in the Red Dwarf, that messy Red Dwarf canon, full of inconsistencies.
Oh, yes, you think Doctor Who is bad with regards to canon and everything? Go watch Red Dwarf. Your mind will just explode.
I mean, that episode where Lister gave Rimmer his dreams. That's why I was an orphan, even though my parents were still alive. Lister in the first series wasn't said to be an orphan.
Yeah,
he lived with his grandmother.
Yeah, yeah. That's why. That's why I had my appendix out twice.
Twice.
even though
that was before. That was before he had his appendix out, because Legion took his appendix out.
Yes, Dave Lister had his appendix out twice.
Yeah, Dave did, and now Rimmer did.
Yes, let's get that imagery out of our heads.
We have an upcoming episode of Red Dwarf. It's not season 13, they're still hoping to do season 13 at some point, but you know, it could like be another Back to Earth special, and just it could be just a 90 minute movie that they come up with. I doubt it's going to be anything like the original movie script. That has been lost to the ages.
Oh yeah, no. With regards to it, the okay, just a bit of catch up for those of you who don't know. When Red Dwarf originally went off the air in 1999 for Series 8, they were planning on trying to get a movie done and everything. It's just that funding just completely crashed and burned. Nothing really happened with regards to it, and they started reincorporating bits of it back into the series itself. Notably, the last episode of Series 10 took a lot of inspiration from the unmade movie, particularly the kinds of the simulants and everything, the ruthless just massacring that the simulants would go on and everything. Because that was the direction that they were going with regards to it. They were trying to make it a bit more action orientated as well as comedic, which might have worked, but trying to do something like that for about 90 minutes, 2 hours,
it depends on who would have done it, because by the time they'd got to the end of Series 8, Red Dwarf was faltering. I mean, I'm not one that, I don't particularly care for Series 8, or Series 7 for that matter, but Red Dwarf had slipped out of the public consciousness. The original writers were arguing all the time, I believe, anyway. There was certainly some breakdown, and Rimmer wasn't even in it at some point. He'd left. Chris Barry had left. And so it was. He'd come back for Series 8 a bit, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, no, he came back for the entirety of Series 8 and everything. I think what had happened was that he had been contracted for the British Empire and everything, and then as such he had to only do half of Series 7, which was including his very 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 brief cameo in the episode where Kachansky was introduced and everything, and then Blue, that fantastic.
Is that the one where he snogs Lister in the dream?
Yeah, snogs Lister in the dream, yeah. And then the Munchkin song.
Ah, he's Arnold Rimmer, more reliable than the garden strimmer.
I fucking love that. I don't care what. I mean,
that's a standout moment from the week Series 7.
Oh god! But, well,
which version of Hollywood you have brought back for that movie?
If
they were going to do it in the '90s.
Well, with regards to it, they really had Norman Lovett back by that point and everything. So more than likely, it would have been him. But with regards to it, now that the entire mythologized movie is now completely out the window, much like the mythology of, for an example, for Doctor Who, Sharda, now that the mythology of just the backstory of that is now all gone, done and dusted and everything. You now have the opportunity to make a movie on something completely original, and with regards to it, it does look like that they're going for an original idea, but that it does hark back to pretty much the origins of the series. So
yeah, I'm really liking it. So we've got the synopsis up. There's a whole bit about the history of Red Dwarf. By the way, if you're listening to this and you've not watched Red Dwarf before, why not? Please go and watch Red Dwarf. It's a show about a grumpy Liverpudlian bloke that gets stuck on a spaceship with three people he hates. And it's got a robot, a humanoid cat, and a hologram.
Basically a space age slob, what would be the perfect word to describe Rimmer? Neurotic?
Anal.
a neurotically anal hologram, a vain and selfish humanoid cat, and a glitchy emotional android. And a senile computer.
With an IQ of 6,000, that's about the same as 6,000 PE teachers.
Or 12,000 British Prime Ministers.
Well, yes. I've just remembered a joke that I should have done. When you said, how should you describe Rimmer? There's that joke in the Justice episode where the computer asks Lister, "How would you describe your Mr. Rimmer?" And Kat shouts out, "Plead the Fifth." Damn, I'm not remembering Red Dwarf jokes fast enough.
Oh no, actually, speaking of that, I have Justice on in the background.
Yeah, okay.
I've actually got Series 4 on in the background and Justice is after coming on.
It's a good series. Oh, but anyway, the new special will see the Red Dwarf crew meeting three meeting three cat clerics who worship Lister as their god. Lister vows to help them as they're being hunted by Rodan, the ruthless feral cat leader, who has vowed to wipe out all cats who worship anyone but him. So that is right from the very first episode of Red Dwarf, when Kat was introduced after Lister re-emerged from stasis, and it turned out that Lister's pregnant cat was stuck in the hold when the whole crew was wiped out by a radiation leak, and birthed cats that evolved and evolved and evolved into basically humans with still cat-like tendencies, who accidentally worship Lister as a god. And there's all sorts of stuff like they're misremembering Fiji, the place where Lister wanted to live with his cats, as Fushal, the promised land. And there's all the stuff about his laundry, his all the stuff about his laundry basket having like four socks and three underpants and four t-shirts, and the cats thought that they were directions to the promised land. And in one of my favourite Red Dwarf jokes ever, arguing about whether or not the hot dog stall hats that they were going to own were red or blue, and they had so many wars about that, and then Lister turns out they were going to be green.
No, the best bit about that is all of that stuff is in the first series. It's literally first episode and then one of the other episodes called Waiting for God. That is all the context that you need for this. You only need two episodes worth of context. The only other thing you need to know is that they drag in an android called Chryson later in the series, because by that point Chryson hadn't arrived yet. But literally, that is all you need to know for this.
If you want to go into this special episode having the bare minimum amount of Red Dwarf knowledge, watch the first episode, watch that episode Waiting for God, and watch, is it the last episode of Series 2 where they get Chryson?
No, it's the first episode of Series 1.
First episode of Series 2. He's played by a different actor, but never mind. He's played by Talkie the Toaster.
Yes, I was about to mention that. Howdy, doodly-doo!
We could quote Red Dwarf for bloody hours on this, but that's not what this podcast is going to become. We're not just going to sit here quoting Red Dwarf to each other.
So what is it? Only joking.
I've never seen one before, sir. No, stop it. Stop it.
Stop it. Stop it now.
Stop it. But anyway, it's the first new Red Dwarf we've had in a couple of years, isn't it?
It's about, 2.5 years, because the last one was the end of 2017.
Was it really?
Yeah.
God, oh my. That was the one that had Rimmer doing dimension hopping, was it?
Yes, Rimmer doing dimension hopping. And I was just there going, Ace Rimmer, Ace Rimmer, Ace Rimmer. No, Ace Rimmer!
They didn't do it, no.
The joke was so obvious. And then even when you see what the episode was called Skipper. Skipper! It's just like, that is just screaming that you need to do this, and you didn't!
Maybe Chris Barry just didn't want to put the wig back on.
I saw that.
if you've watched the outtakes for that episode, the Smegups.
Oh, I need to properly watch those.
The scene where Rimmer hops into the Mr. Rat universe.
Oh God, no! Don't remind me of that. Mr. Rat just terrifies me.
There are so many Smegups and bloopers of Mr. Rat coming into the room, because Danny John-Jules was in that costume. And he was doing the voice live on set from inside the costume. And so there are so many outtakes of that rat costume coming around the corner, and Craig Charles as Lister not being able to not laugh at it. Every time it comes... They must have done about 40 takes, because every time it comes around the corner, Craig Charles just bursts out laughing and falls off his chair.
I'm surprised as to how he bursts out laughing, because that thing is fucking terrifying. I'm sorry,
yeah,
it is.
When you've got Danny John Jules inside it dancing around and making jokes.
Yeah, no, in that context, yes. But just whenever that thing came out, the first time I saw that episode, even though I was, about 22 or 23 and everything, I still found that absolutely fucking unnerving. It was terrifying. And even the voice that Danny did for that, I mean, I get it was trying to be hilarious and everything, but just the slight bit of anger or arrogance in it is just like, okay,
what do you want? But yeah, the Smegups for every series are brilliant. Mm. The cast cannot hold themselves together at all. And that's why I'm glad this was filmed in front of a studio audience, because that is when Red Dwarf hits its stride, when that cast have an audience to bounce off. They are electric, which is why I don't particularly care for Series 7. Because it's the ones when they didn't have an audience there.
Yeah.
There's some all right episodes in that lot, like the Kennedy episode.
Oh yeah,
I quite like that one, but without an audience track, it feels weird.
Yeah, well, with regards to it, what the right thing that they did with those is that they did play them afterwards in order to get an audience track. But it's just like when you watch it, you do realize that the audience track was recorded afterwards and everything. It's just like it doesn't really fit,
which is why it's hidden away on the DVDs.
On the regular versions that they have on the episodes on the DVDs and everything, it's there. It's just that all the ones that you see without the laugh track, they're all the ones that have the extended scenes or the better CGI and everything.
That's why I watch the extended versions.
Yeah, no, and those are the only ones that Netflix have and everything. So it's just like, I'm not hearing any laughter. Oh, where's the laughter? I don't hear the laughter. Oh, there's the laughter. Wait, the laughter's gone again. Where is it?
Yeah, but I've tried so many times to get tickets to Red Dwarf filming. Because they film it in Pinewood, and theoretically it's not that difficult for me to get to. It would be a long drive, couldn't really do it on public transport. But I've got friends that have been to Pinewood Studios for the filming of Taskmaster. So I know people who have been there, and it's all right to get to. But, I mean, people buy Red Dwarf tickets in their millions. People are on the website every morning clicking away, going, refresh, I need to get these tickets.
He's like, I need...
They don't even film it in Manchester. They used to film it in Manchester in the 80s and 90s.
It was up northwest and everything, so...
Yeah, and then they knocked down Granadaland Studios. They could do it in Media City, it'd be fine.
Oh, well, anyways... with regards to that, we have you've heard them describing it as a 90-minute special. However, in most cases, with regards to people who do channels that have advertising and everything, you say 90 minutes, it would probably just mean 60 minutes with advertisements. But no, this is actually going to be full, proper 90 minutes, because they've shown the slot that it has. And the slot that it has with the adverts, because with regards to it, it is Dave. They do need adverts and everything. So
yeah, commercial channel.
Yeah, but they have it on for the full 2-hour slot. So this is a full, proper 90-minute. They say 90-minute special, but yeah, we're just really going to be treating this as Red Dwarf the movie. We actually get a proper movie. Mm-hmm. It's a proper 90-minute movie. And I love the fact that we're finally going to get that. Because... one thing that they've done recently with regards to this and everything is just like, for the last couple of series even, they've done this properly nice advertising campaigns on social media and with Twitter and everything. Especially with this one, they've done these little tasks whereby you have to decode messages and everything, and a lot of people got onto it, and
I looked at that and thought, sod it, I can't be bothered learning Morse code.
Yeah, but it's just,
I'll wait for someone else to do it.
Yeah, but it's just like the amount of people who still get involved with that and everything, that was nice. But it eventually did go through and everything, and we got treated with the first 5 minutes of the special. And literally the first of those minutes is just like, it was like I am properly watching a film here. It's like, this is going to be going on TV, but it's like, I am watching something that should be put up on the big screen. This is beautiful. It's hilarious. Ooh. It's also hilarious and everything. But it is...
I was thinking initially with that clip, well, they might be going in a different direction, Red Dwarf-wise, with this. But the moment that cat flap door appeared and they were crawling through it, oh, I wet myself laughing at that. Yeah. And that's the solidifying, yes, they're still doing this Red Dwarf style.
Oh, yeah, no, they're still making it proper Red Dwarf funny and everything. But what I just like about this is that they are going into this realm of, yes, we are going to be keeping it funny, but by God, we have 90 minutes to work with here. We have a proper movie. We are going to put these twats on the adventure of a lifetime, bigger than anything that they've had so far and everything. And I'm just liking that feel that we're getting for it and everything. Because it's getting, I don't want to say Star Wars text, because Star Wars text is scrolling and everything. It's just text coming up and everything. But just even with that coming up, the just descriptive and everything, and just that chorus soundtrack in the background and everything, is just like, I'm watching a movie here! Yeah.
Well, they've already parodied, was it the opening of Series 3 that did the Star Wars crawl, but it went too fast for anybody to read it.
Oh, yeah.
And it was tying up all the loose ends from Series 2, like Lister's twins grew to 30 years old in a month and went back home to their parallel universe and crashed into an asteroid and had a face change or something like that. Yeah. Holly changed gender to become Hattie Haybridge.
Yeah.
All of that whizzed past in the opening crawl. Yeah. For those who can't see the camera, which is all of you because this is a podcast, I'm doing the wavy thing with my hands to signify the title crawl moving past. I don't know why. Maybe the lockdown's getting to me. We're going stir crazy.
We're doing very visual actions for an audio podcast.
I know. John knows perfectly what I mean when I mean the title crawl, because my hands are moving up and down like the title crawl. But, yeah, I mean, do we think that they're going to be doing all the knockoff? They're going to be doing some Star Trek jokes. They're going to be doing some Star Wars jokes.
Oh, yeah.
Blade Runner jokes, probably.
Or maybe they already did their quota for Back to Earth, I think.
Oh, God. Yes. I mean, I'm one of those that enjoys Back to Earth, probably because it was the first Red Dwarf I watched. But, I mean... There are some rich jokes that really don't land in Back to Earth, and they're mostly the... Maybe it's just because I haven't watched Blade Runner. But there are a lot of jokes that, for me, don't land.
Me neither. Blade Runner is just one of those movies whereby it's just like, you hear about it constantly and everything, and it's just like, everything that I see about it, I really, really, really want to watch it. It's just that getting an opportunity to and everything is just, that's the issue. Although, me saying that nowadays with regards what we're in for and everything, it's just like, yes, I could watch this movie I've been meaning to watch for the last 10 years and everything, or I could binge on the first series of DuckTales again. I'm gonna go for Scrooge McDuck. I'm gonna go for David Tennant and Scrooge McDuck.
Well, that's it. How many days is Ireland now into lockdown? Because the UK, we're just starting our third week of lockdown.
We have been in it now for... If I just have a quick think here. I think for us, it's been about... I think it's been majorly about just over a week. With regards to it, we've had... What happened with regards to lockdown and everything is that we had initial stages and everything. It's just like, don't go out unless absolutely necessary. Yeah. But that certain places were still open. But then, literally the Friday before last, they had announced a major, major lockdown. All non-essential services stopped and everything. So, yeah, I'm basically out of work for the next while.
You're a call center, aren't you?
Exactly. Now, they're trying to sort out work from home and everything. However, stuff has been happening for me and everything, so that's...
Well, that's it. I'm a teacher. What am I saying? Yeah. I can't work from home. Mm. And all the schools, they've got, like, 4 kids in, so they don't need any more staff. Mm. So, I mean, we've got loads of Red Dwarfs to watch.
Exactly. But yeah, anyways, it's just that saying I have a gigantic list of stuff to watch and everything is just like, I need to find the time. Yeah. I have no excuse now. I have the time.
See, what will end up happening is we'll end up watching Blade Runner and we'll go, that's what Red Dwarf was going on about. Oh, that's where they got that from. Oh, that's why those small rimmers have got bobbleheads.
Yeah, no,
that's why he's wearing a dressing gown and shooting them through glass panes.
No, you see, I've already got all of that because I've seen videos. I've seen videos of comparing the film of Blade Runner to the original short story it was based on and everything. So I've got all those clips. I've already seen where all of those come from and everything. So, yeah, just a bit of a shout out there and everything. The one that I've watched and everything is from a series called Lost in Annotation. It is fucking hilarious, which one they do and everything. Because the scene with the scene that was the inspiration for the Rimmer Munchkins coming back and everything. You know, just the little walking words, visitors, sir, and everything. It's just like, when you see him describe the original scene of that, it's just like he's normally describing, and then when they come in, it's just going like, ah! Just this big, loud, ear-piercing scream, and it's hilarious.
Presumably they're not played by Chris Barry in Blade Runner.
No.
Which is a shame.
Yes, tis a shame. No.
Everyone should be played by Chris Barry.
Sadly, the cinematic world was not to see Chris Barry until 2001. But even then, he was graced by being the
Tomb Raider, wasn't he?
Yes, the butler of Angelina Jolie, which is honestly a brilliant job.
I mean, he should have played the Tomb Raider. He should have played Lara Croft. He could do it.
Oh, that'd have been brilliant.
Chris Barry in a black wig. He'd still have the triangle boobs from the video game.
Dear sweet God.
Somebody please make fan art of that.
No. My mind does not need that.
Chris Barry as Lara Croft.
Please. Oh. Please, I do not need an image of Chris Barry's head on top of Lara Croft's body with her triangular breets. Please, no. No. Oh, God.
All right, then. Different topic of conversation. In the 90s, after Red Dwarf finished, which member of the main cast would you have cast as Doctor Who? All four of them want to do it. Which one would you give it to?
Ugh, that's just teasing.
I know.
Danny,
okay.
Because, you see...
You'd have been very... First Black Doctor.
Yeah, no, because, see, with regards to it, I've seen Danny in quite a lot of other things. Most notably, Death in Paradise up until... He decided to go off onto Pastures New and everything. But actually, the very first thing I ever saw Danny John-Jules in, even before Red Dwarf and everything. Do you remember a CBBC series called Am I High?
I do. Yes. I thought you were going to say the CBBC show Storymakers, but
No. If it was going to be another
That's where I saw him first.
No, if it was going to be another CBBC series, it would more than likely be Maid Marian and Her Merry Men and everything. It's Pancake Day! It's Pancake Day! I cannot... How bored must he get of that every single fucking year?
I know.
He's probably...
But yes, I remember him in Red Dwarf. I remember him in Mile High. MI High, even. Not fuck Mile High. MI High. There's a Freudian slip and a half for you. But MI High, I remember... Because he was only... Was he like the caretaker for the first series?
The first...
And then he went off.
The first couple. And then there was...
First couple.
Yeah, and then there was a whole cast change and everything.
Yeah.
But
I loved MI High.
But one other thing with regards to MI High and everything is that I can't remember if he was in the first series, but the second series, the major villain that they had and everything, the Grandmaster and everything, Julian Bleach! I was introduced to Julian Bleach and his glorious creepiness.
Just his voice and his silhouette.
Yes, but still just glorious.
And the rabbit. Did he play the rabbit as well?
The rabbit, I forgot the rabbit. Yeah. Oh god, it's just like, okay, we need a silly animal that someone would have as a pet to parody Blofeld and his cat. Rabbit.
A white rabbit. Yeah. Sorry, I think Craig Charles, he's got the most experience with it. And I remember watching him in Coronation Street, because my mum watched Coronation Street, so I had to watch it because there was nowhere else on television. The television was busy in 2007. I couldn't put my own stuff on. I had to watch Corrie. But I'm going to go for Robert.
Mm.
I think he'd have the most flair with it. Maybe it's just because I grew up with him in Scrap Heap Challenge. Way before Red Dwarf, he was Scrap Heap Challenge man to me. Yeah. And I think that feels like the sort of job that a Doctor Who would have done before they were Doctor Who. It feels like if Red Dwarf hadn't come back, Robert Llewellyn could have played the Ninth Doctor.
Yeah, no, I can see where you're coming from with regards to that and everything. But yeah, the way that you said it at the beginning and everything, all four of them would want to do it and everything.
Yeah.
It's just that, yeah, I can't really pick between them because all of them would be good. All of them would have...
I'm amazed they've never been in it as anything.
Yeah.
Not even as guest casts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it's one of those odd things. It's like, there's people that you would just think... You would have got them in for something, even something tiny, because my god, Doctor Who even got Ian McKellen in for something. They got Ian McKellen.
For the voice of a snow globe.
Yes, but the fact of the matter is, they still got Ian McKellen.
Yeah, they still got him.
So it's just like, there's these people that you would just have thought, they would have got in by now, like, that you would have got in. Patrick McNee and everything, or Patrick McGowan, or the cast of Red Dwarf, or people like that and everything. There would just be those that you would just think they would have tried to get in. Well, and
when did Red Dwarf start? Was it 88?
Yeah, 88.
So it would have been just as Doctor Who was coming to a close. Mm. So maybe they were thinking about it for the last series of Doctor Who. Because Red Dwarf was instantly so popular, I can imagine... John Nathan Turner would have wanted something. I mean, I don't think there's been any speculation about anything.
Yeah.
But I can imagine somewhere in the BBC dungeons, somebody will have thought, well, that's a popular show about science fiction and comedy, and this other popular science fiction show isn't popular anymore. So why don't we mix the two together? But then Doctor Who fell apart in the 89. Red Dwarf carried on. All the props guys from Doctor Who moved into Red Dwarf.
Oh, yeah.
I love looking at some of the gorgeous prop work that Red Dwarf have and thinking, Doctor Who could have looked like this in the 90s. The proper little miniatures and all the models. I love that stuff.
And the fact that they still continue that on up to the new one. Because, yes, they do have CGI shots and everything, but there have been moments where you've seen they have tried to keep it to the model work and everything.
Yeah. And incidentally, the new special, as confirmed on the poster, has the shorter Red Dwarf, the squat Red Dwarf, and that's probably my favourite version of it. I don't love the long, like, submarine one. I prefer the nice little squat, shorter, with the great big cone on the end and the meteor crashed into the bottom of it. I prefer that. I mean, the poster is a nice one.
Oh,
but
yeah.
There's an odd costume choice for Rimmer.
Well, hang on. I think with regards to
Rimmer... Is that in the poster, or is that just in the promotional pictures? He's got a new costume, and it looks like a mechanised costume.
Yeah, with regards to the costume is something that he's been given for this special and everything. So... I can understand why they put that on him there for that one and everything, because that is something that promotional pictures have shown he is getting for this special and everything. So I can understand where that was coming from. But one other thing that has to be spoken about and everything is that Norman Lovett is back as a regular.
And he's properly back. He's not just a cameo in that scene where Rimmer went dimension hopping.
Yeah.
Incidentally, that laugh and that cheer from the audience as the camera panned past and Norman Lovett's on the screen, looking about 400 years old. But, oh, yeah. I mean, God bless him. God bless him for still doing this at his age now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, why not have both? Bring Hattie back as well. I like Hattie's Holly.
Yeah, no, it's just, if you can find some way to do it, because Hattie is still around and everything and still doing stuff and everything.
Yeah,
it's just like,
goes to all the conventions.
Yeah, find some way to do it and everything. I mean, they managed to whittle around everything to try and sometimes have two holograms. Why can't you have two Hollies?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you had two computers because you had Queeg. Why can't we have this?
Yeah, but Queeg was a fake computer though, wasn't he?
Yeah, but I mean, it was still a personality that was created by Holly and everything. You can still create that and everything. There is stuff there to just do that and everything.
They had that woman one with all the weird face makeup on. They tried reinstalling one, and it was like so super clever they ended up doing all their ship's functions for them. But it broke and like wouldn't put out fires because it knew that Crichton wouldn't be able to put out the fire or something like that.
Yeah, Cree.
So the ship just fell apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, the predictive technology, and then just that leading to a brilliant bit with Lister and his dad / son, which is himself and everything.
Oh, he's sending Father's Day cards to himself.
Yeah,
and it's got new dreadlocks and a bit of poppadom in the card.
Yeah, and then just the video afterwards. I'm gonna do all of this, then I'm gonna get blind drunk, so I'm not gonna remember anywhere.
Is that the one where he ends up flushing his guitar out the window?
Yes,
because he's parenting himself.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate you, Dad. Oh, I mean, that's another... Lister is his own father. And he was left under the pool table with "our Rob or Ross" scratched on the side. It wasn't "our Rob or Ross," it was "Ouroboros."
I know who I am.
Kachansky's my ex-girlfriend and me mam. But it wasn't our universe Kachansky, because I think in the canon... Chloe Annette's Kachansky is still a different Kachansky to whoever the flip played her in the first couple of series.
Claire Grogan,
yes. Because they did that flashback, didn't they, where it was Chloe Annette.
Yeah.
But I think there must be something I'm remembering, because knowing my mind, it will have been something Rob Naylor said on Twitter 5 years ago, and I'm just remembering it in the back of my mind, where the original universe Kachansky still looked like Claire Grogan.
Mm.
And so wasn't Lister's mum. But it was the parallel universe one that is Lister's mum.
Mm.
And Lister's girlfriend. Did they ever hook up in Series 7? I don't think they did they? Or Series 8?
I don't know.
There was that bit where they were facing the computer that knew the future. And Rimmer nearly slept with Kachansky.
Yeah. Just,
why don't you take all your wet clothes off and go under this dry mattress?
Oh, just, yeah, Chris Barry in that episode is just, he's just a gold mine.
Yeah. Was it Zoe Wanamaker as the computer?
No, it wasn't Zoe Wanamaker. I think the reason for that...
No, it wasn't.
I think the reason for that is that Cassandra had actually been an inspiration for the Cassandra in Doctor Who.
Oh, that's what I'm remembering. Yes. I can't remember who it was that played it.
Geraldine James, I think it was. I can't remember her name precisely, but I do know that she was the first Miss Marple from the ITV series.
Oh, okay.
Speaking
of which, I don't recognise the guest cast in this new special. There's been a couple of names, and I've thought, I don't know if I recognise them.
That's going to be interesting, because one of them you just watched recently on Thursday. One of them is Yaz's sister.
Oh, okay.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but I'm not paying attention to arachnids in the UK.
just that moment of realisation.
Oh,
that was perfect. No, if we had been...
I might have watched her and gone, I'm sure I know her from somewhere, but I can't remember. The bloke that was in that was tied up and was the prisoner in the 5-minute preview clip. I'm sure I recognise him from somewhere, but I can't think where.
Right, let's have a looky here, because I'm after finding him on Twitter, Tom Bennett.
Tom Bennett, all right, what's he been in? Let's have a gander. Because I saw him and he went, oh, he's either got one of those faces, or I know him from somewhere. He looks young. I don't, is it that? We're both frantically Googling.
Yeah. Oh, he was in Rocket Man.
Was he? Yeah. Oh.
He more than likely just had a bit part and everything. But if I just have a check here. The new Elton's mum, her new boyfriend. The supportive boyfriend.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yes, okay. He's so, there in the Saturday Night is All Right for Fighting scene on the table, isn't he?
Oh yeah. No. Yes. He's the supportive boyfriend and everything. He's the nice one. So
yeah.
Yeah, cuz
I recognize him from somewhere.
Yeah. Cuz from what I remember from the film, the man was a bit of a bitch.
Bryce Dallas Howard, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking through his IMDb now, seeing what else have he's just done, seeing what else have he's done that I recognise. He was in EastEnders a bunch in 2006. But he doesn't look like his picture in that preview clip. That's odd. But yeah, it's got the Red Dwarf. He's a cat cleric. So he's still one of those that thinks Lister is the god Cloyster the Stupid. It's not Cloyster, it's me, it's Lister. It's Lister the Stupid.
And then women just on the back corner just go,
yeah. But that, I mean, this is taking Red Dwarf lore right back to its very beginning.
Yeah.
I've no idea what they're going to do with it. Do you think they're going to go back to Earth and go to Fiji?
Well, with regards to it, one thing I've been seeing a lot is that the style that the trailers are giving off is this kind of series finale-like thing and everything.
Yeah, it looks like Infinity War.
Yeah.
It's that style of trailer. It's weird.
So, with regards to it, what I would dare say is that if it ever does come to a natural end and it's just like Doug goes to Rob and just goes, I can't think of any more ideas. Can you think of any more ideas? And he just goes, nope. They just go, right, in that case, we'll just end this thing completely, give it a way to go and everything. I would say more than likely, if they were to end the series and everything, either that would be the ending that they would go for, or they could just go completely sadistic ending and just kill them all.
I don't think they're going to do that because, I mean, they've said on Twitter a bunch that they still want to make Series 13.
Yeah, now that...
But Red Dwarf has had a few potential endings before.
Yeah.
They had Series 8 where everybody went off on a different ship and Rimmer kicked Death in the testicles.
Yeah.
And then there was the end of Series 11 or 12, that final episode was called The End. To parallel the first episode being... No, the beginning.
No,
it was called The Beginning. Parallel the first episode being called The End.
Yeah, Series 10. Yeah,
so that could have been... Yeah, that could have been... Was it Series 10?
Yeah.
Was it really that long ago? Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, 7 years.
Is it?
Yeah. It's just like...
It's like,
I remember that vividly. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was 7 years ago. It's like, I remember, really? I was starting my last year of secondary school then. My entire third level education is after passing by and everything. And I still remember this as if it was fucking yesterday.
I mean, Back to Earth was what, 2009?
Yeah, 2009.
Yeah, so we've passed a decade of that now. I thought that Dave stuff was all newer than that. The Dave series. I didn't think it was that long ago. Yeah, but anyway, what was my point? Yeah, Red Dwarf has had a few finales. Mm. And as much as this one, I'm hoping, will be left open-ended.
Oh, yeah.
They've probably built something into it for it to act as a finale. Mm.
They might have gone the Futurama route, which is having it open-ended enough that it can come back, but have it set up enough so that if this is where it ends, that everything will be closed off and everything. Mm. They might do that, but the way that the cast are still eager to do more and everything, and the fact that this has been Dave's biggest moneymaker and everything, I would dare say they're going to try to keep it going as much as possible. Especially since now... Craig isn't doing any more Coronation Street. Danny is now free from Death in Paradise and everything. I don't know if Chris or Robert are doing anything major. Apart from Robert doing what's the thing that he does online and everything? Charged?
Fully charged.
Yeah, that's it. But that's his own pet passion project and everything. He does that in his own time and everything. Fully charged and Carpool and everything.
He doesn't do Carpool since James Corden stole it.
Oh, the cheeky little bastard.
I know. Robert Llewellyn's reactions on Twitter when he saw James Corden had stolen that and not credited anyone. God, that was a fun time. But yeah, and I mean, the cast now, they must be getting on a bit. I think Danny's the only one that's still in his 50s. Oh, no, Craig's younger than Danny, isn't he?
I think so. But yeah, no, they're getting on a bit. But with regards to it, if they're still in a position to do it physically and everything, if they don't mind it and it's not going to be putting them out in any way, then I would say go full on for it and everything. It's not like the situations with the doctors and everything whereby time has not been kind to them that they can't come back and do them physically anymore. With regards to it, and that they're stuck to Big Finish now and everything. They still have this thing where they can do it physically and everything, so I would say go all for it and everything.
And even if the cast gets to a point where they're a bit stiff and infirm, you can work that into the show and you can make jokes about it. Hmm. If Chris needed some surgery or whatever and had to walk with a walking stick, you could adapt that into like the hologram breaking down and make some jokes around that. I thought holograms couldn't age. I've been aging for the past 30 years. Is he still a hard light hologram in the new series?
Yeah.
Because there was a while when he wasn't, I think. There was some bit... Oh no, Series 8 he was alive again.
Yeah, Series 8...
And then something happened to make him into a hologram for Back to Earth.
Yeah, Series 8 he was alive again. Then when it came back to Back to Earth, he was still a hard life hologram. I think there was only one... I think there was only one occasion whereby they showed he could still go back into soft light and everything, which was just walking through a wall and everything.
That's what I'm remembering.
Yeah, but... Yeah, well, with regards to it, Series 6 showed that he was able to do that regardless and everything. Switch between soft light and hard light with regards to power consumption and everything.
And he changes colour outfits, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
He goes from red to green.
Red to blue, yeah. It's just like, that's brilliant. It's just like, yeah, it's just perfect way of signifying it and everything. But anyways, with regards to it, apart from that, yeah. Really, other than the fact that it looks like it's going to be their equivalent of an action movie and everything, I don't really know where the climax could go and everything. They could set it up to end and everything, but I'm hoping that they keep it a good bit open-ended and everything, because this is a series that, even with regards to it, that even though some people may not like the Dave stuff and everything, I do and everything, they're trying their hardest to make it work and everything.
I love it.
And it's just, yeah, they're still trying to be funny, and for about 90% of the time, it succeeds and everything, and it is brilliant.
I enjoy the Dave stuff just as much as Series 3 or 4 of Red Dwarf. I think it is some peak Red Dwarf. Yeah. I remember saying to someone on Twitter back when it was first airing, Series 10 felt a lot like Series 2, and then Series 11 felt a lot like Series 3. Mm. They'd nailed down the jokes. They knew what the cast were doing in their newer, older forms. They knew that they wanted to have more space adventures as opposed to just being on the ship. And there's a marked difference between Series 10 and Series 11 in terms of the ambitiousness of it. And I think it has got better and better.
Yeah, with regards to it, it's just like, I had only really gotten into the series just before Series 10 actually became a thing and everything. So the fact that I was able to see ones new and everything is just like getting to properly watch them and everything. It's just like, I'm loving this. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm loving every single moment of this.
I started watching Back to Earth was the first one I watched, and then that like a couple of months after was my birthday, and so because I was such a fan of Back to Earth, my parents and my grandparents bought me all 8 series for my birthday. So I sat and I binge watched that for a few weeks.
I tell you what happened with me. My sister got my dad the nice big photo album 20th anniversary collection on DVD for Christmas and everything.
Oh yeah,
and he's not one that does DVDs. I'll be quite frank and everything. with regards to, oh no, you should really see how he views stuff that he records on the Skybox and everything. He basically just fast forwards through everything and then just rewinds it every 3 minutes or so because he's missed something important and everything. It's just like, the way he watches stuff, it just boggles me sometimes. But anyways, he doesn't really do DVDs and everything, so he had this around for a couple of days and I just went, you mind if I just watch this and everything? It's just like, yeah, sure, go ahead. I stuck it on, watched the first episode, and I'm pissing myself laughing. I absolutely loved it and everything.
Yeah.
And it's just, once that happens, it's just like, right, I am getting the rest of these.
Yeah, I mean, some of my favourite episodes are probably from the Dave era. There's the one that has Hitler and Stalin and Vlad the Impaler. That's one of my favourite ones.
Oh god!
The one where the one where Crichton has a midlife crisis, and he's wearing red, and he's got
yes, and the other reconnoiter. Then you get the sentient universe played by Morgan Freeman sound alike and everything.
Because you've got them talking to God.
Yeah. You have them talking to the universe and everything, but yeah, you can't really think of anyone else who would be the universe other than Morgan Freeman and everything. It's just like,
yeah,
you just can't think of anyone else. He just sounds too perfect. it's just like, we're not even ashamed that we're doing a Morgan Freeman impersonation because this just fits. Yeah. Let's just accept the fact that this fits.
And the one where they meet Jesus. Oh, that is one of my favourites. Lemons, I think it's called.
Yes, lemons.
They power up their little teleporter thing
by
plugging copper coins into lemons. Yeah. Isn't Britain famous for its copper? Oh, we just walked 6,000 miles. I told you we should have made a shopping list.
No, so I hope people get it when they hear us doing this and everything, but just the amount of the times that we're pissing ourselves laughing here and everything. This is just a series that is just so consistently funny and everything, and absolutely brilliant.
Yep.
Even the shittest episodes are still fucking hilarious. I mean,
there's a question. What is your least favourite episode?
Oh, I can't really think of a least favourite episode and everything because each one of them has something that makes me laugh. It's like,
I think I'm the same. When I think, like, my least favourite episode of Doctor Who, instantly I've got some answers of episodes that I hated.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think I've hated an episode of Red Dwarf. Yeah. It'll probably be something from Series 7 or 8 for me.
Yeah, no, with regards to me, it'll probably be the same. But even then, I still like all of them because they all have something that makes me laugh and everything. I really can't properly think.
Because I know a lot of people will say Back to Earth. A lot of people don't like Back to Earth. And, you know, as much as I can see where the jokes didn't land, I like it.
Yeah, I like it as well. Sophie Winkleman in that is just hilarious and everything. She's just brilliant.
Oh, doing her accent.
Yeah. Katerina Batakowski.
I am medical officer, Katerina Batakowski.
Not too big.
Hologram can still die.
She didn't see that coming.
I saw that coming.
She didn't see that coming, did she? I did.
Oh, that's brilliant. That is brilliant.
Oh, I've thought of what it might be, actually. The one where Crichton, in the prison, gets put into the women's cell. I think I think a lot more jokes in that one don't work. They may have worked in the 90s. Nowadays.
Crichty TV.
That one, yes. Ah, yes. I think there's...
Yes.
Because I will have watched that in like 2009. And I'll have gone, really? They were doing that?
Yeah.
And, you know, it was the 90s. But
transmitting live from my optical receptors. Live and live, it's women's shower night. And it's just like, God.
And even like, they have Kachansky in that, don't they? Mm. And Rimmer. I mean, this is one of my least favourite jokes in Red Dwarf. Rimmer notices and Lister's stat there watching the screen intently. And Rimmer tries to leave. And then Crichton shouts, and now here's Christine Kachansky. And Rimmer sits back down and goes, maybe I'll just have a chalk ice. And God,
yeah, no,
that doesn't work.
Yeah,
that episode doesn't work.
Yeah, Rimmer and Lister and everything. It's just like, but it makes up for that later and everything. Chris Berry just makes up for that later with just two perfect words. The appeal.
The appeal. Oh yeah. Oh, is that also the one where they've got, booze in their cell?
Oh no, that's
is that a different episode?
That's the last one and everything. That's the last
one.
Oh,
yes, they're going to lose the appeal because they're going to be caught watching it, aren't they?
Yeah, the appeal.
There is the bit when Lister is talking to Kachansky. It might not be from that, but where they're going, I want to see what you look like naked. Like, you've seen me naked before.
Yeah,
but I wanted to see an updated one.
That's the same one.
You could have just asked.
That's the same one.
We were friends, weren't we? Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, that would have been something that might have just about worked in the 90s, but nowadays, yeah, it's just like very, very touchy ground.
It may just be my millennial sensibilities. I'm barely a millennial. Yeah. I'm 97.
No, millennial was literally, I think the absolute end of it was 94. So I just barely qualify as a millennial.
It's the generation that were children and teenagers at the turn of the millennium. It's basically, if you were young, if you were under 18 and you remember the millennium, you were a millennial.
I cannot for the life of God. I remember bits and pieces on either side of it, but I do not remember celebrating it. I was basically.
But you remember the '90s a bit, so you remember before it.
Tiny bits, yeah.
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 Whereas me, my earliest memory is in about 2001, going to watch the Tweenies live at the Manchester Arena.
Okay.
That's my earliest memory. Whatever happened at that Tweenies live show, my brain aged three. Like, I'm committing this to my memory forever. My brain has woken up. I'm watching the Tweenies live on stage.
Oh, God. No, the earliest memory when I can remember and everything, I cannot for the life of God. I think it must have been when I was about two and everything. I think it must have been about Christmas of 97, I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
Christmas of 97. I can't be 100% sure on everything. I think it was that, because the thing that I remember most is that we got a PlayStation. We got a PlayStation and I just remember video games.
Wicked.
Yes, PlayStation and video games. That's all I remember.
This has woken me up. I'm alive. I can play video games now.
Yes, I was just like, what is this orange rat that's running across the screen?
Any old people who are listening to this, We've made them feel very old now. We're both too young to be making podcasts.
Yes, we are.
Too young to be watching Red Dwarf.
But that isn't going to stop us.
This podcast will never die. I mean, fuck it. We could make a podcast every day now. Both our countries are in lockdown.
But yes, potentially and everything. Just would we have stuff to talk about? I don't know if we would have stuff to talk about.
I mean, what? My recording has ticked over an hour and 4 minutes. There was a lot of rambling at the start before we recorded. Mm. So this is a long podcast.
Yeah, I'm getting up to about just over an hour now and everything. There's about a minute or so that's after being cut out and everything. So,
yeah.
More editing! Yay!
Yeah, well, I mean, you're going to have me, whilst you were trying to reconnect, humming whatever. I've forgotten what song it was now. But no, it was the Storytime song from CBeebies, because we were talking about Danny John Jules in Story Makers.
Ah.
Do you remember that show?
No, I cannot for the life of God remember that.
Oh, go and find it on YouTube. It's a baby's show, but it's Danny John Jules as a library... What's the word? As a librarian. Christ. As someone who runs a library. And at night, it turns into a magic story-making machine. And
yes!
All sorts of...
He plugs books
into the machine.
Yes!
Oh, you've remembered it now?
Yes, I recall it now. Yes.
And yes, and most of the episodes were randomly animated stories. There was one about a blue cow. And there was like little fluff puppets...
Yes!
That joined in and sung songs.
Yes, and... yes. I remember that now and everything. I remember that. It's just like, ooh. Just that little click.
Story makers.
That little click in your head.
I don't think he did it for all the series, because it went on for a while.
Yeah. No, I can't recall.
But he was certainly the one that people remember.
Yes, no, the moment you just started describing it and just said Blue Cow, is just like, yes, I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then each story was animated differently, and it would always end with the blue cow. But there'd be some like live action things. There'd be some with puppets. There'd be some 2D drawing cartoons. There'd be some 3D animation. I'm remembering this show far too much, considering I was a baby when it was on.
Well, I mean, with regards to it and everything, there's going to be some of those that are going to click into mind and everything. I mean, the one that's clicking into my mind now is Hey Dougie, because of the fact that I'm watching that with my nephew and all time and everything. And he just absolutely loves it.
I can imagine, yeah.
It's just like Chris Chapman, who does all the Doctor Who documentaries and everything with the DVDs and everything.
He suggested
it and everything. It's just go like, okay, I'll throw this in front of him. Oh, it's on Netflix. Okay, let's put that on and everything.
Hello, squirrels.
Yes. Hello, squirrels. The fact of the matter is, I got surprised that was Alexander Armstrong, because he's actually putting on a different voice for that and everything.
Yeah.
See, when I remember Alexander Armstrong, I just remember "Good evening, Sarah Jane." Or let's see if it's on the board. Let's see if it's on the board. If it is, how many points it has? It's just like you hear it like that. It's just speaking normally, and then on this, it's like he's trying to be Peter Dixon. Hello, squirrels. I wonder what Dougie has for you today.
And on that note, all the listeners have earned their podcasting badge. We've already asked for fan art in this episode, but please, somebody, can you draw us the podcasting badge from Hey Dougie? That we can... that'll be a fun thing to have.
Oh, that would be hilarious!
And if you can do Chris Barry as Lara Croft wearing the badge...
Chris Barry as Lara Croft with triangular breets. With that badge.
Wearing a Hey Dougie badge.
It's just like, where did this come from? It's just like, you don't want to know.
Yeah, Red Dwarf is one of those shows that gives a lot. I mean, we've just been sat here quoting the jokes. And even us doing the jokes in our worst impersonations, we're making each other laugh because they are such solid jokes. We've not even spoken about our best jokes from the series, because, of course, it's going to be the Red Alert Bulb.
No, your favourite one is the Red Alert Bulb. My favourite one is Mr. Flibble. Just Mr. Flibble.
What should we do with the Mr. Flibble?
Mr. Flibble.
We can't do that. Who would clear up the mess?
Oh, it's just that is absolutely fucking hilarious and everything. It's just like there's some moments it just pops into my head. It's just like it just tells me, go get a Mr. Flibble puppet. Check eBay. Find one. Do it. And it's just.
I think they did make one.
Yeah.
Or at least fans have made one.
Oh, yeah.
And the BBC haven't cared about merchandise in the show, so they've let them get away with it.
Yeah, no, it's just like, if you had made that, that would have been brilliant. The amount of people who would have just went and bought that and everything, it would have just gone, they were naughty boys, haven't
and
they?
The dress. The
yes. Yes, and the gingham dress. The gingham...
Don't wear a gingham. Yeah. That's the episode, Quarantine, isn't it?
Yes, rather appropriately.
Very apt, I know. Yeah. But the episode with the red alert bulbin, that scene has some of my favourite jokes because it's a continuous run of some of the best jokes. And it starts with, watch out, swirly thing alert.
Yeah, that's Legion. The only reason that I remember that is that it was on earlier today. I was watching a video about it and everything. I remember the red alert bulb and everything. It's just like, damn you all to Hades, I want to go to blue alert. Okay. Blue alert.
Flashes slowly in the background.
And then, step it up to red alert. Sir, are you absolutely certain?
There's no one to alert.
And then it's just like, step it up to red alert. Sir, are you sure? It does mean changing the bulb.
Changing the bulb. Broadcasting all known frequencies and in all known languages.
Including Welsh.
Now, if you excuse me, I'm going to go cry under the scanner table.
Has anybody seen...
Sir, I could eject myself into the rear thrusters to give us more boost. It would mean I can't do today's ironing. Sit down, Crichton. I'm not doing me own smegging ironing. Oh, I love that scene.
We've just completely lost ourselves at this now.
We have, yeah. But we've been going for an hour now. I think it might be time to wrap up and move the podcast on to us reviewing the episode.
Yes, indeedy. So, yeah, with regards to it, just looking at it and everything, what I'm just hoping that we get out of it is just a fun movie. I'm just hoping that we get a fun movie.
Yeah.
That you can have a bit of dumb action, you can have a bit of thriller stuff and everything, but at the end of the day, it's going to be Red Dwarf. It's going to be fucking hilarious regardless and everything.
And Red Dwarf's still with Dave. They know their roots, and it's still Doug Naylor making a lot of it.
Oh, absolutely. And with regards to it, Rob Grant and everything, he even is okay with it and everything. He actually came back to do the scripts for those AA adverts.
Oh, did
he? He's actually come back to help for those AA adverts and everything. So it's just like, it's making sure they're down tight and everything, because those adverts are fucking hilarious.
They are
brilliant, and they don't feel like a sellout. It does not feel like a sellout whatsoever. It's just like, they brought in everything. It's just like, they making it work in the universe and everything. I mean, yes, it is an advertisement. They do have a logo there and everything. It's just like, you're making the joke fit with it and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Different version of the theme using that advert as well in the ending.
Oh.
It's a slightly more upbeat theme and a slightly bit more bombastic. So, yeah, those episodes have aired between last series and this one, haven't they?
Yeah.
I don't think they were on during the last series.
No, the adverts have only been done recently and everything. More than likely due to them wanting to get the Promised Land done and everything. More than likely they just had a couple of days, a week to spare and everything, and they just pushed them all out and everything.
AA have paid for the Promised Land to get those adverts.
Yes. Yeah. It's like, okay.
Have those adverts aired only on Dave?
No, they've actually aired on... Some of them have aired on ITV. I remember actually seeing one on ITV.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
No, because ITV is after getting into a strange place now, not only with that, but also with BritBox, because ITV is really the only major place up until now that was advertising BritBox and everything.
I saw that. They've advertised Doctor Who on ITV.
Yes, the Doctor Who advert on ITV is just like, this is bizarre but brilliant, because...
It's the other side.
No, because I'm telling you, those BritBox adverts and everything are absolutely brilliant. All down to just one thing. The music is just Blue Monday by New Order. That is just a belter of a track. For those of you who are wondering what the hell we're talking about, it's the music from the Wonder Woman 1984 trailer. That beat of awesome 80s music.
Yeah. Is Red Dwarf on BritBox? I don't know. I've not got it.
I think so. They've certainly been advertising that on the website, the Red Dwarf website.
Because it's whether or not the first eight series, the rights are still with the BBC. whether or not Dave bought all the rights to the previous series.
I think the rights are still with the BBC because the BBC themselves had released the Blu-ray box set without any input from UK TV or
Right, it was BBC Studios.
And the fact that the first eight series are the only ones that are still on Netflix and everything. So with regards to it, Dave has the control, still has the control over anything that's produced in their house and everything. I mean, with regards to it, Dave is still technically BBC. UK TV is just an offshoot of the BBC and everything. But it's...
I keep forgetting.
Yeah, it's partly owned by them, but it's mainly just all the repeat stuff and everything. Like Gold has all the comedies. Dave has all the mainly male orientated stuff and everything. But still, you do get a lot of
Top Gear and QI.
Yeah, but you're gonna get a lot of stuff there that's just gonna cater to everyone and everything. You then have Yesterday, which is for all the history buffs and the James May likes and everything.
Mm-hmm. They're showing all old episodes of EastEnders now, aren't they, as well, on one of them?
Watch, yeah. What
is that on Gold?
No, it's
that on
Watch. Yes, Watch. That's the more...
Or W, as it's called.
W. That's it. Yeah, I forgot that. Yeah, no, that's the one that's...
That was a weird marketing move.
Yeah, no, that's
rebranding to a single letter.
Yeah, no, that's the more general one and everything. That's where all the Doctor Who repeats have gone to now.
Yes, it is.
Yes. Now that they've closed down BBC Three.
It's always like the first four series.
Yes, it's always the first four series and everything. It's just like, can we not get a bit of variety here and everything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, yes. So, Dave, is this going up before it airs? Or is this going up after?
I can try and see if I can get it up before it airs and everything. I mean, with regards to it, we've 2 days before it airs and everything, so I can see what we can do.
That's why I was wondering, because we're recording this on the Tuesday. Mm. It airs this Thursday, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It airs after the tweet-along.
Yeah.
Do you want to record the night that it airs? Because it will finish at like 10:30 at night.
No, it'll be 11.
11. It will be at 11 with the adverts.
I'd say we'll be fine.
Or do you want to record Friday morning?
Record the Friday morning.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'll just won't have any thoughts between Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
So I can bleat them all on the podcast. But yes, anyway, that has been our ramble and our repeat of a bunch of Red Dwarf jokes. It is all on Netflix, as we've said. It's come back onto Netflix recently. But there's a Blu-ray box set out. All the DVDs are still out. I still regularly see the DVDs in HMV. So Red Dwarf is everywhere. Go and buy
I've picked up a lot of them in charity shops and everything. There are ways to get them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. CEX. CEX, love them.
Yes, indeed. When they decide to open back up.
Well, yes. I mean, having said that, it might not be so easy to get Red Dwarf during the lockdown. But never mind, this is your lockdown special episode of Terror of the Tweeters. Who knows how many more there'll be.
Indeed. But yeah, with regards to it, yeah, the first eight series of it are on Netflix and everything, and they are absolutely worth a watch and everything. They are some of the funniest things you are going to see all day.
And then series 10, 11 and 12 are on UK TV Play.
What about Back to Earth? Would that be on it as well?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, that might do.
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
possibly will be.
I'm not sure either because I can't really get UK TV Play because I'm in Ireland. But yeah. The Dave Era stuff is all on UK TV Play for absolutely free and everything because they're darlings like that.
Yeah, just make an account.
They're darlings like that.
Yeah. And that the promo campaigns that have been running for every series have been great. I'm looking forward to the next episode.
Yeah, do you remember the promo that they did for series 12 and everything, whereby they just tried to take the piss take out of Thor Ragnarok? They just had Led Zeppelin in the background and everything. That was fun.
Oh yes,
that was brilliant. Yes. And then just all the 80s neon and everything. It's just like, yes, I know this is just a shameless cash grab at Thor Ragnarok, but I love it.
Yep. Was that the one where they did on Twitter, everybody that signed up to their feed was sent a little badge of what part of Red Dwarf they worked for?
Yes.
And it was like steward and then officer, and then captain.
Yes, I remember. I remember those. I remember those.
Been good. So yes, thank you for listening to this Terror of the Tweeters episode. This has been the day before tomorrow for Red Dwarf: The Promised Land.
Yeah.
And I forgot to say it was the day before tomorrow at the start of this podcast, but never mind.
Don't worry, we're gonna have it in the titles and everything.
Whichever weird Red Dwarf, vaguely relevant song John is going to choose for the opening credits.
Like I said, I put in Danny John Jules's fantastic cover of the theme tune.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm. It's cold outside.
There's no kind of atmosphere. I'm all alone. More or less. Let me fly far away from here.
Fun. Thank you for listening, everybody. The Terror of the Tweeters. We'll be back to review Red Dwarf, The Promised Land at some point in the future. Thank you for listening, everyone. Stay safe. Keep washing your hands. Stay inside. Watch Red Dwarf.
Yes, indeed.
Enjoy your life.
Indeed, do all of that. Have a good time, my lovies, and hope you enjoy the episode.
Sing the Red Dwarf song while washing your hands. That's 20 seconds.
Exactly. Yes, and everything. And then when you're done, the rimmer salute.
To dry your hands. The double-handed rimmer salute. Dry your hands. I've not thought of that.
Oh God.
Thank you for listening. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You waved again.
I'm sorry. I don't know why.
You have been listening to Terror of the Tweeters, the day before tomorrow. Red Dwarf, The Promised Land, recorded on the 7th of April, 2020. Your hosts were John Ryan and Matthew Ross. The opening theme tune was the remix theme from Red Dwarf, and the closing theme was the instrumental version of the single version of Tongue Tied. Both were composed and remixed by Howard Goodall and sang by Danny John Jones. Any and all copyrighted material is the registered property of their respective owners, utilized under fair use agreement, and no infringement is intended. See you for the review next time, yes, Smegheads. Toodle pipsky!